The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus said, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If I can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can you see the first?
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And they were not able. Boy, do I know how that goes. I think all of us know what that's like. I've been a lot of places in my life. I have done a lot of things. And over those years, it has become quite clear that there are certain things that I simply cannot do. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I want to, I simply cannot repair small gas engines. The type that are on lawnmowers, weed whackers, chainsaws, and so on. I know better than to buy one of those because I know when it breaks down, one of them will simply become a giant paperweight in the shed. Case in point, my lawnmower stopped working this summer. Halfway through a very normal afternoon of mowing the lawn, it died right in the front yard. I did what I could. I checked the gas. I checked the level of the oil. I reached in there and I jiggled a few wires and pulled on a few hoses, hoping that it would miraculously start again. But nothing. I was not able. The new, large, red piece of yard art was proof that I was not up to the job. The disciples were not up to the job either. They had come to help the poor father and his helpless son, but they could not. I can only imagine how the father felt, how awful it must have been to see his son convulsing on the ground and foaming at the mouth, finally going rigid like he was dead. As a parent, we know how bad it feels when our children are sick. But imagine what it's like to know that the cause of the illness is an evil spirit. The father's anguish is easily heard in his voice as he speaks with Jesus. You see, by this time in Jesus' ministry, the disciples were surely moved by this man and who was pleading for their help. No doubt they tried over and over again, like me prodding and poking day after day on my lawnmower, but nothing was working. You can almost picture the disciples here, getting tired, getting frustrated, seeing the faces of the crowd, expecting them to do something, anything, but now having to face the fact that they were not able. It was almost as if they had never done it before, which is really strange because Scripture is quite clear that the disciples, when they went out on their mission, did cast out demons. And they also did the same thing in Jesus' name after his ascension. But this time, they were unable. This is God choosing to act in a particular way. Oftentimes, when he does this, it's to teach us about a deeper truth. Yes, that's just the way it works sometimes. My mower spending the summer in the front yard is proof enough of that. Sometimes we are not able, even when we are doing all of the right things. The argument inevitably comes up that the boy was obviously suffering from epilepsy, and the disciples were wrongly treating the boy as if he was possessed by a demon. That's why the exorcism didn't work. But Jesus makes it clear that even if it was epilepsy, an unclean spirit was behind it. Jesus casts out the demon and frees the boy from its power. This is one of those places in Scriptures where it is made clear for us that no matter the trouble there is in the world, whether it is sickness of body or mind, destructive forces like tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, or even a global pandemic, you can be certain that the devil and his crew are behind it. Just because we can explain it by biology or climatology doesn't mean that there is not some sort of evil spiritual force at work. Now, that might be frightening to some, for sure, but it should not be surprising to us. We know there is a spiritual world all around us, and Jesus is Lord over all of it, both good and bad. So the problem was not a misdiagnosis on the disciples' part. Their problem was the same problem the Father had. And he shows it when he says, "If you can do anything." See, it was a problem of faith. Saying, "if you can," to Jesus sounds rather odd to us, doesn't it? But understandable, given that his followers had just failed so miserably to help the boy. It was not the first time, nor would it be the last, where the disciples' failures reflected poorly on Jesus. And there is plenty of that going on even in our own day and age. Now, we would never say, "if you can," out loud to our Lord, but we certainly live it when we let the troubles and trials that we face in this world weigh us down and steal away our peace, as if we did not have a Lord and Savior who could do all things. It is the good and gracious will of our Lord that we face times when we are unable in order to strengthen and deepen our faith in the one who is able, in Jesus. The Lord reveals this to his disciples when he answers them as to why they could not cast out the evil spirit. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Now, to be clear, Jesus is not saying that the men needed to add something to their exorcism arsenal in order to make it work. He is, in fact, telling them that they need to let their efforts go, to cast themselves completely on the Lord and his strength. What the Lord showed them in this is that they were, in fact, unable, but that he was able to do all things through them. Yes, this is all about faith. As Jesus himself says, all things are possible for one who believes. However, faith and believing do not derive its power in itself. The power is in faith's object alone, in Jesus. Trust in one's heart does not accomplish anything. It's Jesus, in whom one's heart trusts, who does it all. You see, the Lord is not telling the disciples that if they commit their hearts and their minds to something and then pray a lot about it, it will happen. He's telling them to let all things go and leave it all into his hands. In the truth that he is able, even when they are not. You see, the trouble with weak or little faith isn't that I don't trust Jesus, that I'm not able or that I'm not up to the job, but that I don't trust Jesus, that he is able and up to the job. As our Lord of mercy helps the Father and delivers the Son back to him, he is at work to deepen and strengthen us in the truth that he is more than able to deal with anything and everything that comes up in this world broken by sin. He is drawing us away from ourselves and toward him who can do all things well. And we see this play out right in front of us this morning as he comes to us in his body and blood at this altar. When we gather here, he directs our hearts and our eyes to the cross, where he won an eternal victory over death. On that cross, while in excruciating agony, Jesus tried and tried until it was finished. What we are unable to do for ourselves, he accomplished. For he said, it's finished. Jesus has done it all for you. He is more than able to take care of all things for you. My lawnmower sat in our front yard for nearly 4 weeks this summer until my neighbor, out of pure kindness, fixed it for me. That's what Jesus has done. He has come to those who believe in what he has done for us, forgives our sins, makes us his children, and takes us to be with him eternally. Where we are unable, he is infinitely able and even more. Amen.